Blog Talk Radio.
You're now listening to
Hot Takes
with
Nolan and Eric.
Nolan Haig. You can find him on Twitter at NJH09. And football season is officially among us. We have the NFL opening week this weekend, starting Thursday, and then of course we had college football started this past weekend, and a ton of great games. A really big opening week one. Now we kind of get the letdown here in week two, but it doesn't matter because we have the NFL and football is back in. Back in our schedules, how do you like that?
It's pretty awesome. Like you said, there's a lot of crazy games that we actually picked a few of them. So we obviously got a lot to talk about, and then we've got a lot of NFL stuff we need to catch up on before we get that season started. So got a full slate tonight.
Yeah, definitely. And we'll be making our award picks for the NFL and our Super Bowl picks. So should be fun night. And let's get to it.
All right. I think we had a fight that we also picked, so we might as well take
yes.
care of that.
Yeah, Saturday night, UFC fight night. It was free on Fight Pass. Andre Arlovski versus Josh Barnett in Hamburg, Germany. And we picked that main event fight. I went with Barnett. You went with Arlovski. Both guys came out swinging early, dropped each other twice in the first round. But Josh Barnett proved to be the winner in the end, getting the third round submission. I had him by first round submission, but nonetheless, Josh Barnett continues his career. And Andre Arlovski is once again at a crossroads of his career. And the 37-year-old might be seeing that career come to an end here pretty soon.
Yeah, it'd be a shame, but I mean, we kind of talked a little bit about that last week. When it's time to go, it's time to go.
Yeah, we did, and Josh Barnett is not a young guy by no means. He's actually a year older, 38 years old, so I really thought the winner of this fight would be able to keep their career going a little long, and the other one would start dwindling down here, and that seems to maybe be the case here. Arlovski came off of three or four straight wins in the UFC just 9 months ago, and now he's dropped three in a row, so it's pretty remarkable how quickly things can change in the sport.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yep, 1 second you're on the you're holding the belt on top of the world, next year laying on that mat.
Yeah, it really is. It's definitely anyone has a chance, puncher's chance. So it's a great sport, and that's why I love it.
All right. Okay, I guess if there's nothing else, we can, I guess, go ahead and pick a game, and we'll talk about how crazy it was.
Yeah, I guess we should start off Saturday night. It was an absolute thrashing by Alabama over USC. USC
yeah.
came out with some fire at the beginning, first quarter, but their offense just could not do anything against the Alabama defense. And by that point, USC's defense couldn't hold up any longer. And a guy hurts for Alabama. They might have found a quarterback that could actually win them games instead of not losing them games. So, that would be very scary for the rest of the teams in the country if they have found a playmaking quarterback. And But, yeah, Alabama proved to why they are number one, and rightfully so.
Yeah, no, they definitely reloaded. obviously, they tend not to rebuild. Yeah, like you said, Jalen Hurts really showed some potential. I mean, there's kind of an opening for a guy that runs the Alabama offense, and he could definitely take that over. I mean, a lot of holes, or you would think holes, as far as the guys that have left behind. But yeah, if he can step in there, then they might have somebody for a few years.
Yeah, because he is he's a true freshman, and it would be scary for the next 3 or 4 years. And he has one of the top targets in the SEC in the country, in Calvin Ridley, which will make his job a little easier, and a great offensive line. Like you said, they rebuild. They don't rebuild. They just continue to put new players in there, and they make plays. And this team is one of the best, and there's a reason for it. And it looks like someone's going to have to play their A-plus game to be able to beat them if possible.
Yeah. Once again, they're definitely a team to beat. They're number one for a reason. Yeah, it's going to be another long season as far as waiting for them to lose. At least it looks that way.
Yeah, and actually the SEC kind of struggled. I think went 7-7 on the day, or somewhere in there. I think they went 500, but Alabama proved that they are the cream of the crop. But the rest of the SEC, I think the conferences, as far as depth and with their other teams, I think other conferences have finally caught up to them. They're not as dominant as they once were, they still had that best team in the country in the conference, and until that changes, it's going to be hard to knock them off winning national titles.
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of definitely the SEC doesn't look nearly as good at the top as it has recently. But yeah, as long as they're there, you're probably going to have to watch out for them come playoff time. So.
Yeah, without a doubt. But let's go to our next game here with a team that was in that college football playoff with Alabama last year. That was number 3 OU taking on number 15 Houston. Neutral site game, but it was in Houston. And Houston really just kind of had their way with Oklahoma. They couldn't get anything going. Oklahoma's secondary was porous, and so was their offensive line. Baker Mayfield took a lot of shots, and Houston took advantage. They had a huge field goal return in the game, and they just proved that they're one of the top teams in the country. And OU has some work to do.
Yeah, I don't know. It seemed kind of indicative of kind of where the program seems to be at. Houston really seems to be on the rise. Looks like that they might be here to stay now. There's obviously bigger implications of the game going forward now, I guess, because Houston's actually one of the teams trying to get into the Big 12. So obviously, you know, long shot, long way away from, you know, saying if that would happen, and who's to say if it's even really a good thing for the Big 12 to let a team like Houston in, kind of diluting that Texas talent pool even more. But no, as far as the game goes, yeah, Houston just looked all around better. I mean, they committed to forcing Baker Mayfield to make the plays at the end of the game, and he couldn't. Like you said, that field goal return was huge. Like, it seemed like half of the guys on Oklahoma's kick unit didn't even realize the ball was being returned until it was too late. I mean, just an awful look for them and Bob Stoops. I don't know. Bob's been pretty bad for a while now.
I mean, they did go to the college football playoff last year and won the Big 12.
Yes, I do understand that. But I feel like last year's kind of been more of an outlier as opposed to other recent years. I don't see why they keep getting ranked in the top five and the top 10 every year when they seem to squander it by the end of the year.
Well, they have all the talent, and they usually do. They just sometimes don't come out in these big games, which is what Bob Stoops really made his name off of. Of course, had the name Big Game Bob, but that really hasn't been the case lately. You're right. But, yeah, I think this says a lot more about Houston than it does Oklahoma. I think Houston is one of the top teams in the country, and I know this is ways looking down the road, but I think this is a huge win because if Houston can win out, I think that it would be hard for the College Football Playoff Committee to keep them out, no matter what the rest of the country looks like. If they go 13-0 with the win over the number three team in the country at the time, it would be huge for the Cougars here and Tom Herman.
Yeah, no, definitely. And yeah, like I said, they look like they belong with the higher-up program. So, yeah, hopefully they can keep it going. And yeah, they'll definitely deserve a spot if they remain perfect.
Yeah, and they made a 9-spot jump here. They're number 6 now this week after being number 15 last week. So definitely people taking notice. And I also want to point out here that I picked Houston to win that game while you had Oklahoma.
Of course.
All right.
Well, next up, then.
I guess we should do Ole Miss Florida State Monday.
Yeah, that ended up being quite a game. Of course, Florida State being down, was it 28-6 there late in the second?
Yeah.
Completely turned things around there in the second half. Scored 33 straight points on 9 consecutive possessions. Ended up being the biggest comeback in school history for Florida State. Dalvin Cook actually was a pretty good dual threat in the game. Had a career high 101 rushing yards on 7 receptions to go with 91 rushing yards. Had kind of a bad fumble heading towards the end zone there at one point, but you know, you can forgive that for the other stuff that he does.
Yeah, he's definitely made his case as one of the top backs in the country. And they also got really good play from the quarterback after that first quarter kind of got settled in, was Francois. And he really looked good the rest of the night. Ole Miss, just their secondary could not stop Florida State. I couldn't count the number of times in the second half they had him in third down, and they just couldn't stop the pass. And Florida State deserved to win it, and Ole Miss struggled to win that big game. And Chad Kelly, while he looked really good in the first half, kind of you saw the bad with him in the second half. So Ole Miss has some work to do, lost a lot of playmakers on defense and on offense. And after that game, you kind of wonder why they're ranked number 11. I know they had the 28-6 lead, but I feel like if Florida State would have been playing their game from the beginning, it would never had Ole Miss having a chance in that game.
Yeah, no, that's probably a fair point. Like you said, Chad Kelly, 3 picks, made some mistakes. Definitely didn't look
also
like a senior compared to Francois there, especially in the second half. Right, and a fumble. Pretty much, yeah, Florida State looks good, and Ole Miss doesn't at the moment. One more thing I'd like to add. Ricky Aguayo, new Florida State kicker, 6-for-6 on field goals and 3-for-3 extra points, looking to continue the family name, even though his brother's trying to ruin it in the NFL.
Yeah, he looked really good. I mean, he hit all his field goals. He did what he had to do and what he was asked to do. So good for him. Good for him.
Yep.
I had picked Ole Miss in that game. You took Florida State. Looked good for me at the beginning, but the better team won out at the end.
Yes, definitely. All right. I guess. Do you want to do your upset first since it was a more exciting game?
Yeah, we can do that. I had number 10 Notre Dame. I had Texas beating them. The game was in Austin. Notre Dame had won 5 straight games against Texas. But on this night, Texas wasn't going to let them get 6 straight. It was the coming out party for true freshman Shane Buechele. He's only the second true freshman to start a game in Texas history and the first time since 1944. And he looked remarkable, and Texas actually made a 2-quarterback system work. Both guys really were there to hype each other up, and neither one of them got down when they were switching out. Tyrone Swoops brings a completely different element to the game. He seemed every time he got the ball, he was making positive yardage. I think there was one time where he got tackled for a loss. Other than that, he was always moving forward. And then you can add two more running backs that are over 240 pounds with him. That spells a lot of trouble for a defense trying to stop him for 4 quarters. Deontay Foreman had a lot of good runs. Kind of looks like a mini Marshawn Lynch in college. I'm not going to go as far as the pros, but his twin brother, Armani Foreman, actually made a really good catch in the end zone at the beginning, kind of got Texas off and rolling. They did have a big lead. They were up 31-14 and gave it up and actually trailed 35-31. But Buechele and the offense drove them right back down. And then we had a crazy play on the extra point. It was blocked and returned. We had a tie game at 37. Ended up going to overtime, and it went to 2, where Texas walked off with the touchdown. And they looked really good, and they've now moved all the way up to number 11.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I was a little surprised by number 11. I can't argue with it now. I mean, it's a long season. Everybody's going to move around. But I mean, Notre Dame was number 10, so, I mean, they weren't – it's not like they got ranked higher than Notre Dame. But no, yeah, like you said, everything on offense seemed to kind of work out. Yeah, Swoops was pretty much unstoppable on the ground in the red zone. yeah, I mean, they did give up the lead, but they were able to rally back and make it happen. I really feel for Deshaun Kizer. I feel like he played a really great game. And like I said, rallied from, 17 down and I don't know, just a heck of an effort from him. But, ultimately, yeah, it's Texas's moment. It's a huge win for them and Charlie Strong, that program.
Yeah, definitely. Going on to Sean Kizer there, he definitely, I think, won the starting job for the rest of the season. Of course, they came in. Both teams had a little quarterback battle, but I think Texas was more – it was a game plan and it was what they wanted to do, while Notre Dame's was we're trying to figure out who wants to start for us, which I think is never really a good thing. But I think Kizer definitely took that position and ran away with it. I think he'll be Notre Dame's starter for the rest of the year. But going to Texas, their offense, of course, last couple of years has looked pretty abysmal. They haven't had a quarterback. Buechele has given a lot of confidence and a lot of hope to Texas fans here. So they really look good. Malik Jefferson probably next year will leave Texas and be the top linebacker in the draft. He was absolutely remarkable, was everywhere on the field. And Texas has some players now, and it's going to be interesting. First time ranked under the Charlie Strong era. So it's a big time for Texas here, and now they just have to avoid some letdowns.
Yeah, can't fall out after getting in. All right, I guess go over my upset real quick. I picked North Carolina over Georgia, but that did not happen. Georgia won 33-24. Nick Chubb ran all over them. Had 32 carries, 222 yards, and 2 touchdowns. That's just about all I got to say about that.
Yeah, Nick Chubb, it's really good to see him come back. Of course, had that devastating leg injury last year.
So right.
he had a huge game, and it was good to see him back. When he's on, he's one of the top backs in the country. And, definitely a good sign for Georgia.
Right. I would say it's a little worrisome that he had to carry the ball 32 times coming back from this injury, but, you know, that's whatever.
Yeah, I mean, their coach learned from the best to give their running backs a ton of carries. So we'll have to see what it does long term here.
Yeah. All right. What other games you want to talk about since we're kind of rolling here?
Well, since that does our picks there, I went 4-1 this week. Had got my upset. You were 2-3. Didn't get your upset. So now you only have a 2-game lead. You're 41-39. I'm 39-41, and we're both 4-5 in our upsets. So maybe I just need a little college football here to get me back on track.
All right. Well, good thing we're picking NFL games this week.
Well, let's hope it all works out the same.
All right. Is there any other games you want to talk about, or do you want to just head on over to NFL stuff?
The only other game was just how porous LSU's offense looked, and they look like the same old offense, and can't really do anything. Guys in the box stop number 7, and that's pretty much the game plan for defenses coming in, I would think. Brandon Harris hasn't shown a lot. His coach isn't really helping him out with his play calls. So LSU has a lot of work to do, and I think Les Miles' seat is getting hotter and hotter by the moment.
Both of their touchdowns come off turnovers in that game. So, if it's not for their defense, they probably go in and get shut out in that game, and that would probably be a fireable offense for LSU and Les Miles, you would think, in an opening game like that. But it's just definitely not a good look. Something needs to change.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know what really can change at this point. Also, really not good news for Leonard Fournette. He, of course, went down with about 2 minutes left in the game. I think it's a high ankle sprain, and if he's not able to go, it's big trouble for LSU. So hopefully he'll be okay, and they can figure something out on offense. We might see a quarterback change here because Brandon Harris just really isn't getting it done, and I can't put it all on him. Cam Cameron and Les Miles haven't really made the offense any easier on him.
Yeah, And going back to Leonard Fournette, honestly, if I'm him, I sit the rest of the season. But that just kind of goes back to, Nick Chubb and that whole thing about. It's not worth it for these running backs to be hurting themselves.
Yeah, the only thing he has to worry about is his draft position falling. There's a bunch of good running backs that are going to be coming out this year. Dalvin Cook, Nick Chubb, possibly. I don't think it'd be a horrible decision, but I don't think it's going to happen. I think he's going to play all year. And we'll just have to see what happens here, because if they do start losing a few in a row here, that talk will start to heighten a little bit here.
Yep. All right. Any other college football thoughts?
No. Clemson didn't really look like the team they did last year. First game, but Deshaun Watson didn't really look all that great. Still won, still pulled it out, but they didn't look as explosive they did last year. Lost a lot of guys on both sides of the ball. So that might be a little worrisome for fans in Clemson, but other than that, I think we pretty much got it all.
All right. Well, then I guess we'll have to take it on to the NFL, where we're gonna pick some awards, I guess.
Yeah.
And before we pick the Super Bowl, so I guess let's started off with Offensive Rookie of the Year. Who you got?
All right, I'm actually taking a guy here, Mike, comes as a little bit of a surprise, but I'm taking Texans rookie Will Fuller to take that spot. I think him in the slot is going to be Brock Osweiler's best friend, kind of getting little checkdowns. I think DeAndre Hopkins might not have as big of a year as he did last year, and I think Will Fuller will be part of that and will really be one of Osweiler's favorite targets, being able to kind of go on the inside there and those drag routes and be able to take on the third corners. And he's got really good speed, and yeah, that's my pick for Offensive Rookie of the Year.
All right. The only thing I'd worry about that would be his hands. But, no, as far as Offensive Rookie of the Year, it's Ezekiel Elliott's award to lose. Obviously, he's in the best position to get that. You've got the line. They've got the quarterback situation that is probably going to rely on him a little bit. But I would say a dark horse could actually be Dak Prescott if he plays well. I mean, that's. But then again, you would think that the success would kind of be more about Ezekiel Elliott anyway, making it easier on him. So, like I said, unless he, you know, God forbid he gets hurt, there's no reason why he shouldn't win the award. I could throw out some other, like you said, Will Fuller or Josh Doctson or Sterling Shepard, like one of those guys. They could, you know, catch some touchdowns or something and have a big year, but it really should be Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah, the Dak Prescott, a little bit of a hot take there. I'm not sure he'll play all season. I think that Jerry Jones.
Right. Well, that's what I'm thinking. It, you know, assuming that Tony Romo doesn't come back quickly, or you know, or really at all, I guess maybe for whatever reason, then I think there's a possibility if he gets hot. But that's the thing, is that offense is going to have to be around the running game no matter what. So.
Yeah, and the Ezekiel Elliott, of course, was one of my final picks for that award, but I'm just kind of getting a little nervous. Everyone seems to think that he's just going to have a great year, and it's just going to be as simple as that, and kind of got me a little worried here. Not sure why, but yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he kind of had a letdown season compared to what everyone thinks he's going to do this year. He also has the backfield to share with Alfred Morris and Darren McFadden, so it's going to be kind of hard for him to keep it up if one of those other guys is playing really well.
Yeah, I can definitely see that where they're all getting carries, but he's the number four overall pick. They're gonna, and especially when they want to lean on the running game, I think they're going to give him every opportunity to feature him at least early on. And like I said, I just think he has the best tools to succeed right now. I mean, most running backs coming into the league that are talented do just kind of have an easier transition. So, but yeah, no, I mean, like you said, you were talking about, it's a little, it seems a little too obvious or whatever. Yeah. But I don't know. I just feel like too much needs to happen for any of these other guys that I'm looking at. Like the obviously the best quarterback who has a chance would have to be Carson Wentz, right? Just because he's getting the start from day one.
Yeah, I mean, the number one pick's not even going to be active the first week. So, yeah, I think he'd have the best chance, but I'm not sure if he has the stable running game to help him out or anything. So I think it'd be hard for him to win that award.
Right, that's what I was thinking. Just, I'm not sure if he has the team around him so he can put up the numbers. But all right, I guess we can move on from there. Defensive Rookie of the Year. This one was a little bit harder for me.
I've taken a team that I think is going to have the biggest turnaround this year. That's the Jacksonville Jaguars, and I think one of the big reasons for that is going to be Jalen Ramsey. He was my favorite defender coming out of the draft. I wanted the Eagles to be able to trade up and get him because I didn't expect them to take a quarterback, but they did. But Jalen Ramsey was one of my favorite guys coming out. His speed, his athleticism, his size, all good things at the safety position for the Jaguars. And I think he's really going to help that team turn around, and that defense is going to be one of the better defenses in the league this year.
I think that they'll definitely be better. And Jalen Ramsey and Miles Jack should definitely help with that. Miles Jack was also a name that I saw come up a bunch people picking Defensive Rookie of the Year. It makes sense as far as one of the two of them. A lot of people said that they got the two best defensive players in the draft when they were able to get Jack there in the second. And Joey Bosa seems to have kind of fallen out of that race with his contract dispute. So, like you on Offensive Rookie of the Year, I'm going to kind of be a little different. I thought about Ramsey and Jack, but I couldn't really pick one. And there's nobody else that really stood out to me, so I'm going to throw out a kind of random name. Chris Jones, obviously, plays for Kansas City. He was drafted in the second round, but he's got a real natural, it's hard to say it, but hard to really explain it. He basically just throws guys around on the line and gets through the line. The Chiefs are obviously going to need whatever pass rush they can get early on in the season, so I think he's going to get a lot of early reps to just try and get some pass rushing. So I think hopefully his just natural ability and strength to just do what he does will help lead to some plays and hopefully some sacks and a lot of pressures. So I'm thinking, you know, maybe if he gets like 6 or 7 sacks or something, that even seems probably a little on the high end. So, yeah, 5, 6 sacks somewhere in there. I think that can be kind of an under the radar if nobody else really blows me anything away. Like, nobody gets like 9 picks like Marcus Peters, but I think that'd be kind of interesting and possible.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely a good pick and kind of a sleeper pick, I would say. First round talent they got in the second round, and he'll be called upon early and often in the season. So can definitely get the majority of his work done early in the year. So I like the pick.
Kind of one of the guy Homer thing, but yeah, like it's. In my head, it seems to work. Like he can get those reps early on, and then just kind of hopefully get better as the season goes on, and find his way, you know, to getting more and more into that rotation. But yeah, defense was not a whole lot of names stuck out other than those guys on Jacksonville.
he actually wasn't even in my top three here. But, it's a good pick. I didn't even think about him.
I guess let's move on. What do we got next? Defensive Player of the Year.
All right. Well, I'm going to go kind of a little surprise here. I think a guy who has been one of the best at his position for the majority of his career kind of goes overlooked. I think he's going to have an absolute breakout year, not in the sense that he hasn't had great years, but I think people are really going to kind of recognize what he does. And that's Seattle Seahawks safety Earl Thomas. I think he's due to have one of those years that you just look at and are just wowed by. And I know this award typically goes to guys who get sacks and defensive linemen, but I really think that Earl Thomas is going to have a huge year and be a huge part of the Seahawks defense, once again becoming one of the best in the league. And I also think he's going to lead the league in interceptions this year, and is one of the big reasons why I think that he's going to take this award home.
All right, yeah, no, definitely surprised me. I was not expecting that. I feel like he would definitely need to have some sort of crazy interception number to kind of solidify that conversation. Obviously he's definitely one of the best at what he does in the league. I don't know if I'd go there. this one's also kind of a little bit of a boring. There's kind of a lot of names, but they're kind of the same names: J.J. Watt, Aaron Donald, Luke Kuechly. So a lot of people think Khalil Mack's going to take another step forward this year and get into that 20 sack range. But I don't know. I'm going to be boring, I guess, and just go Aaron Donald. He can do it all. He can get pressure from the inside. He can stop the run. Just with the exception of J.J. Watt, there's really nobody doing it on his level.
Yeah, no, he finished second for me. He's definitely one of the best in the league at what he does, and he could very easily win the award. I think maybe his team isn't going to do so hot and maybe take a little away from that, but I don't know if that really works the same way as it does with MVP awards, so I could definitely see that happening here.
I don't know. J.J. Watt gets by with around 500 teams.
Yeah, no, he does. But I could also see the Rams winning four games this year, four or five. And
I don't know. It's Jeff Fisher. He'll find a way to get seven.
Yeah, you're probably right. You're probably right.
He'll go 4-2 in the division and then win, somehow miraculously win three more.
Yeah, that could happen too.
it's like the rules of football. All right, let's keep going. We're probably running out of time here. MVP, the big award, or AKA the best quarterback award. who are you going with there?
Going to quarterback, and I think he's going to win his second one and two in a row. I think it's going to be Cam Newton. I think they're going to be really mad about that Super Bowl loss, and they're going to have another great season. I think that's going to be led by Cam Newton once again. And he also got one of his big weapons back this year. So I think that's just going to add to his numbers here, and he's going to continue to solidify himself as the next great quarterback in the NFL.
I'm definitely going to have to disagree there. For some reason, I feel like Cam's headed for a little bit of a setback. It's not going to be anything major. It's just not going to be on the level of last year for whatever reason. Just things seem to be weird like that. Yeah, Kelvin Benjamin's back. But still concerns on that offensive line. And definitely, I just feel like they're gonna be a little bit worse team without Josh Norman, at least at first. Especially on that defense. So I don't know. I just things seem to go a little bit too perfectly for Cam last year. I think things are going to be a little bit of a rough go for him this year. Which I'm actually going to go with Russell Wilson as my pick. I'd like to say Aaron Rodgers or Ben Roethlisberger, or something like that. Ben Roethlisberger's probably going to get hurt because he's just like Tony Romo. He's going to get hurt for like 3 weeks at some point in the season. Aaron Rodgers has Jordy Nelson back, but I'm not super confident in their running game. and they let Josh sit and walk. But I don't know. Russell Wilson just continues to seem to get it done with the receivers that he's given. Now the offense is going to be a little bit more on him with Marshawn Lynch finally being gone. Hopefully they can finally figure out how to use Jimmy Graham and get him involved in the offense. But I think Russell's probably going to take an even another step forward and continue to blow people away on his end.
To begin with, so I think that'd be a hard board for him to win, but could very well happen. I just think Seahawks is going to have to rely heavily on that defense once again.
Yep. That's actually, I guess, kind of going into our Super Bowl picks. I was kind of looking over, and I found it extremely hard to pick playoff teams and division winners. It seems, I don't know, just no, it doesn't seem like a lot, anybody's really blowing me away. But who do you have for the Super Bowl?
My Super Bowl is actually the guy who I think finishes second in the MVP race, and I think he's going to have a huge bounce-back year. I think he just has too much talent to continue to be, I don't want to say mediocre, but not to his standards. And I think that's going to be the Colts. And I think they're going to take on last year's NFC Super Bowl team, the Carolina Panthers. And I think we're going to have the two top picks and two drafts in a row facing off in the Super Bowl. Andrew
Luck.
The Cam
Luck Bowl. All right.
Yep.
I mean, that's way more exciting, I guess, exciting than mine, but I don't know. I still don't have faith in the Colts. I think after Andrew Luck, their roster is still garbage. But, I mean, yeah, if Andrew Luck can return to form, then, yeah, they're definitely an infinitely better team. But, no, I couldn't really think of anything better than New England and Green Bay because terrible. I feel like New England's not going to really be fazed by Tom Brady's suspension. They're going to blow through the rest of their schedule, and there's nobody in the AFC, it seems, to step up to really challenge them. And then Green Bay has Aaron Rodgers, so that's probably how they get there.
Yeah, I mean, picks here have some great quarterback matchup, so that should be fun. But I really hope we don't have to watch the Patriots in the Super Bowl again. Yeah. Who do you have winning it all?
Aaron Rodgers for two, I guess. He's got to solidify his place in. Yeah, no, just him. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah,
bold,
yeah,
that's
just
a
him.
Bold move.
Yeah, it's he's going to be the only one accepting the award. Mike McCarthy is going to be standing out on the side, like, looking all mad. Eddie Lacy. Yep, no, none of those guys.
All right, well, I'd love to see that. I think the Panthers are going to get it done this year, and I think that they're going to win it all. Came up short last year, and I think that they're going to play like a team on a mission, and they're going to succeed by the end of it.
All right, the 2015 Royals version of the Panthers.
Yeah, exactly. All right.
All right.
Well, that wraps that up. Do you want to just kind of go through these hot picks really quickly since we're running out of time here?
Yeah, Panthers-Broncos.
I'm taking the Panthers opening night. They want some revenge, plus Trevor Siemian.
Yeah, usually they're set up for the home team to win, but yeah, I feel like the Panthers take this one. Let's take it to Bengals-Jets.
All right, I'm going to take the Bengals in this one. I just don't see Ryan Fitzpatrick having the season he had last year, and yeah.
Yeah, I'm also going to take the Bengals. I can't really say why. Yeah, I guess Andy Dalton's slightly better than Ryan Fitzpatrick. Okay, moving on. Eagles and Browns.
I hate to say this, but I think the Browns win this one in a low-scoring game.
All right. I actually think it's going to be kind of high-scoring, and I'm going to take the Eagles. And finally, Chiefs and Chargers.
All right, I'm taking the Chiefs in this one.
I'm also going to take the Chiefs. Got an upset?
Yeah, Virginia Tech over Tennessee and the record-breaking attendance.
Darn, I'm sorry that our upsets aren't going to happen because I almost picked that one, and if I'd have done that, we probably would have got it right. But I'm taking Iowa State over Iowa.
Didn't Iowa State win one game last year?
Yeah, it's going to be a big one.